me one that's just calling from daytime after dark.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Hi everyone, this is Colby from Daytime After Dark. And sorry about the music, but everything's okay now. And tonight I'm so excited. We will be interviewing okay, I'm sorry about that, everyone. The music went crazy on me. Yes, I just want to say good Wednesday afternoon, night to you. If you're on the East Coast, it's night. If you're on the West Coast, it's 5. If you're in Hawaii, well, it's still like 1 or 2. And I'm so excited tonight. We get to talk to one of my favorite people. Never talked to her before. I'm a little nervous. But Martha Burns, who was Lily on At Libertoons, I loved you. And Rose Diago on At Libertoons. She was on General Hospital. And now she in a lot of good Lifetime movies. And and also her new show, The Wait. So let's welcome Martha Burns.
Hi there. How are you? Nice to talk
good,
to you.
No, I'm... Thank you. I'm such a big fan of you. Oh my gosh, I loved Holden and Lily. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was kind of my couple for Adelbertune. And I cried when you left. Like,
oh,
every time you left, I cried.
Oh,
and then when you left, you know, period, I'm like, no, there cannot be another Lily. No. So then I got mad at
you.
Out of the button. And I hope you kids had a good first day of school.
That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow's the first day. So I'm getting ready tonight. Everybody's got their backpacks set, and it's like the calm before the storm. It's a little calm right now, but I'm sure in about an hour everything's going to get crazy. So I get to talk to you for a little bit.
That's weird to make them go back on the 3rd when it's Thursday, and then Friday, and then they are off on Monday for Labor Day. That's crazy.
I know. Who knows?
I would not do
different.
It.
Every town is different, but it's good. It's good for them to get back in a routine a little bit.
Oh yeah.
It's good. It's time. It's time for people to go back to school.
My nieces and nephews went back. August 24th and 25th, and they did not want to go back because their cousins won't be going back until Labor Day. And I'm like, you get out so much earlier. So yes, how did the show Wait come about? Because it's funny.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you. I met Darren Strauss, who's the creator of the show, through the Writers Guild, and Darren had watched As the World Turns, and we connected because her show Downsize was part of the Writers Guild, became part of the Writers Guild, and my show Gotham also became part of the Writers Guild, and so they had a party, and we met there, and she sent me the script after we kind of crossed paths a couple of other times, and I just absolutely loved it, and I worked on a show called Crisis on NBC, and that director, Fred Keller, who I also had worked with when I was 11, he read the script and thought it was funny and said he would direct it. And the rest is kind of history. We got it together and the fans made it happen, which is amazing. And got to bring in some As the World Turns folks to help. And it was great. So much fun.
So what did you play on it for everyone that just want to tune in now? And, you know, what are you playing on Wait?
Well, I play a girl, a woman named Claire, who loses 100 pounds on a weight loss reality show, and she's away from her family for 3 months and comes back to her family not quite embracing her the way she expects. And everything isn't all better now because she's lost the weight. Kind of all the actually things are worse. And I think that's kind of what intrigued me about the story is, because I do watch those weight loss reality shows, which can be very inspiring, but, you know, these characters, they are characters, you know, they are characters on a show, and that's sort of, and they go home to their life, and they go home to reality, and they don't have a trainer, they don't have a cook, they don't have anything else, they just have to deal with being a, you know, new celebrity, and try to keep the weight off, and try to win this thing, and there's a lot of pressure that's around it, but, you know, we're telling the story through funny, and through comedy, because it is ridiculous. I mean, the whole concept of being locked away and, you know, holed up somewhere for 3 months and being tortured for your own good, it is a little ridiculous. But listen, I'd like to do that for a few weeks. I wouldn't say 3 months, but I say that, but it's very difficult to do it, to training. So it's that's what the show is about, and her family and her children, her husband is just not liking her new body, and her sister's a little jealous, and it's just a struggle for her. So I just loved her. I loved the character. I could relate to her in a lot of ways. So I felt very comfortable in those shoes playing her, for sure.
Well, yeah, and today's thing about, you know, you have to lose all this weight in an amount of time on these reality shows. Come on, it's not realistic. I mean, yeah, you will mm-hmm. be doing like 15 hours a day, or maybe mm-hmm. you know that's all you guys, all you will do. And I'm sorry. Yeah, working out is good. I know, but come on, working out 15 hours a day? No.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just not what the hardest part for the contestants is going back home and trying to maintain what they've done and. Now they have to be their own motivator, which we all have that issue. I have the issue. Everybody has the issue. So when you have to be self-motivated, there's a lot of excuses that can come into your head to not do it. So you're right. And it is unrealistic, but it also can be very inspiring. And it can also change people's lives for the good. And it can do mm-hmm. wonderful things for other people. But it's a very difficult undertaking, and it's an addiction in sometimes a very positive way, and sometimes in a not positive way, with the eating or the exercise or overdoing mm-hmm. it. You know, there's so many things. Our culture is so overrun with this issue on every level. I think it's very timely, this show, and I think that it's the time to tell the tale of what happens to these people and their lives, and tell it through this character's eyes.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, you've been acting forever. I remember seeing mm-hmm. you on Kate and Ally. I love Kate and Ally. I love it
wow.
when you
watch.
Thank yeah. you. I'm kind of obsessed. I mean, I'm not obsessed with you, Creel. Okay, maybe you have to do. But, I mean.
It's very sweet. Thank you.
But, you know, with you and a lot of other daytime actors, what I like is, you guys want to have your baby, and sometimes the weight didn't come off probably as quickly as you
sure.
Wanted.
Sure.
Did you ever feel pressured by any network or anyone to say, come on, you know, you need to lose this?
No.
Or has it been?
No, I wasn't. I that was the difference between, this is why I love, this is the one thing, there's so many things I love about daytime, but first of all, back then, there was no internet. You know, there was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was mm-hmm. no instant feedback of going, oh, my God, she's still not losing that weight or whatever they would say, you know, or maybe not. You know, I feel like the daytime fans embrace their characters and their actors better than any other medium. I feel like they don't care if you put on 20 pounds or you're, mm-hmm. you know, they just love the characters and they want to see you. So I've never, you know, the only pressure I put was on myself. Like, I get to the point where going, okay, it's time to, like, step it up a notch. You know, it's time to, like, you know, sometimes you get the wardrobe department will give you a little bit of the side eye, you know. But I kind of ignored that, and I just shook it off. And it's like, when I'm ready, I'll do it, you know. But that was because I was in a comfortable environment, and I was playing a character that was a long-term character, and I didn't feel that pressure because I knew that I wasn't going to get fired because of it. Like, that wasn't an issue. Like, there was no, you just didn't. It was like, that wasn't a reason you'd get fired on our show. You know, that wasn't the case. I don't think I've ever heard of a case that someone got fired from a daytime show because they were overweight. You know,
but they got pregnant. They got pregnant, and then, you know, sometimes a pregnancy is a liability. So I was just wondering because I always thought you looked perfect.
Thank you.
You know,
I wasn't one of those pregnant women who skipped a meal, you know, who's like, I'm on a diet and I'm pregnant. That was like, no. As soon as I got pregnant, I'm like, I'm going to get everything I want, and I don't care because I am hungry. And I had a 10-pound baby, and I was almost 200 pounds the first time, and I enjoyed every sandwich and every soup. And I, you know, the makeup and hair department would love when I was pregnant because I would order, I'd call the Chinese food place, and I'd order, like, one of everything because I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat. And, of course, I couldn't eat that much, but they would. I just feed everybody. And I cooked, and I loved to cook. And so it really wasn't like, ooh, I'm getting a little too thick here. I just wasn't part of I never, ever worried about it.
Good.
I think when you're pregnant, the pregnancy thing, I think, you know, and I look back now and I think Hogan Sheffer, you know, when I was pregnant, Kelly Hensley was pregnant, and Maura West was pregnant. The three of us were pregnant at the same time. And he probably wanted to kill us because we were, you know, as a head writer, like, oh, my gosh, three of my leading ladies are pregnant. And he did say something to me once that I can't repeat in a joke because I loved him. No, I can't say it. But he was like, I think that's more of a concern for a show is that how do you write it in? Do you write it in? Do you not write it in? Do I have to change the story? Do I have to, you know, how do we adjust? And we were all pregnant. Everyone was pregnant like crazy. I mean, just having babies.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's in the wall over there? I mean, when
it
kept coming
like,
out,
someone would get pregnant, and then someone else would get pregnant, and then it just, and then, but at three at the same time, I mean, it was, and then they came up with the spa storyline where we were all trapped being poisoned with blue drinks by Dr. Weston, and we had so much fun. I mean, we had such a great time working together.
And, I mean, it's really good for you guys because, you know, you probably still keep in touch and, you know, you kids are about the same age. So
yeah,
that is awesome. But, you know, yeah, when I first read that, I'm like, uh-oh, three of them at the same time and then three of them want to take time off? Oh, this is not going to be good.
Somehow it worked. It's because we were all a little bit behind each other, I think. Maura and Kelly were closer together, and then I was just pregnant when we did the storyline. I think Max is I can't remember. There's so many kids, I can't even remember. I just know that Michael Park's son is going to college, and my son is a year behind him, and then it kind of goes down. That's the age. Michael Park's son was the oldest, and then all these babies came after that. So. Which was wonderful. It was wonderful. We all spent a lot of time together, and we were a family in many ways. So that's it was special. It was a very special relationship that you had.
Did you guys each other every day? Mm-hmm. Did you guys all still keep in touch?
Not really. You know, I see Elizabeth Hubbard as much as possible. Yeah, I mean, I see Michael Park. He lives 10 minutes from me. So I see him often. Yeah, he was here the other night at my house. And so, you know, Facebook's great because you keep in touch with everybody. You know, you can at least check in because a lot of people live in California now, and some people live in Illinois, and some people live in upstate New York, and some people, you know, so everybody's scattered quite a bit around. I know a lot of the behind the scenes, the directors are still in daytime. A lot of the actors are obviously still, you know, some are still doing daytime. But I see Maura every time I go to California. I make a point of we get together. And Paolo Segante, I see him. I wish you could see each other more because it's just a nice bond that we have. But it's just life. It's like college. You know, you go on and live with your life, and then you see each other again, and it's like a day hasn't passed, and you're still Paul Layden, I see. You know, Paul Layden is somebody that I played Simon. You know, we were very close.
Oh,
friends.
I loved you and Simon.
Yeah,
I mean, I still have,
because
I was such a Lily and Holden fan, but then I kind of fell into Simon's web. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
That kind of was too. Okay,
he's
I'm in
cute.
Trouble.
Very sweet.
And,
yeah, he's very sweet.
But if you ever, next time you have Michael Park over, can you please tell him about the show? Because it's been like a dream of mine to interview him, and he's not on Twitter enough for me to not stalk him, but ask him. So,
I will let him know.
Thank you. And what did you want people to know about your new show? Will there be a season two?
Right now we're looking at, it was really a pilot that we did. So we just did the episode as a pilot, and we're now talking to some people about expanding the show and doing more episodes. And we have a few paths that we might take to move forward, but it's been amazing. The response has been phenomenal, and the fans have been, you know, the feedback's been great. The reviews have been great. So we're just going to see what happens next. See where we land. You know, we're doing, it's just been, it's again, it's a timely show. It's a relevant show, and it's such a fun show to do. It's so, the character I love so much. I really want to play her. I really want to see what ends up happening to her. Does she win? Does she, her marriage stay together? Do her kids want to talk to her anymore? Is she, whatever her friends think? What do her parents think? I mean, there's so many stories to tell about this family that I want to continue to do that. So we cross our fingers that everything works out, and we talk, have some great news soon.
Well, I really wanted to. I mean, you were so great in it, and I'm like,
thank
wow.
You.
You know,
thank you.
You could, yeah, you could. I mean, because when you played Lily, but you also played Rose, I was not happy when Rose died, by the way. I'm like, that means you're not getting double the money anymore, people.
That's how she died. She's a little too expensive. I started looking at my paycheck, and they went, wait a minute. You know, actually, we made the joke, and the joke was they could hire two actresses for the part, the money they paid me to play Rose, and that's exactly what they did. So, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes those decisions are made for a moment decision, you know, for a moment, and then it ends up backfiring sometimes. You know, I don't know. I think it's one of those. I remember I had one of the executive producer when Rose was like 2 years in or 2.5 years in, and he called me in the office and he said, you know, we did this focus group. God bless the focus groups, right? Whatever. But he said Rose was the most popular character on As the World Turns, like by far. I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, like something that a character that is new, but yet they know me as Lily and they're accepting this character. And then, you know, soon after that, she was dead. But, you know, this is just how things, that's just, and, you know, I think it really was a budget thing. I really feel like they could hire two more actresses or actors, you know, for that extra salary. And, you know, there was a storyline promise of what was going to happen, and it didn't. So it kind of fizzled out into something else. So, you know, I think sometimes these decisions are short-term choices. But it was such a fun character to play. And it really was, you know, it was a lot of work, but it was so much fun to play, like work with Elizabeth Hubbard as Rose was unbelievable. You know, just treating me like a total stranger and being so dismissive of me and, you know, having that relationship with her on camera as another role was, it was jarring for me because I love her so much. And we have such a bond, having worked together forever, that when she was playing Rose, she was mean. You know, the character was mean to me, and we were, you know, at each other's throats, and I was trash. And so it was, I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. It just kept my mind fresh. And I got to work with other actors. I got to work with Colleen Zank. I got to work with Trent. I got to work with Terry. And I so many people I got to work with that I never would have if Eileen Fulton more so. Because I was playing that part. So it was what a wonderful time. What a wonderful experience it was.
Yeah, but the death scene, you know, how everyone was crying. I was in high school, and all I remember, people were saying, Rose is going to die on As It Returns today. I'm like, okay, you guys, don't be dramatic. They're not going to die. They are not going to.
Poor Rose.
And I came home, and I'm like, why?
Gone.
And I kept saying why for like 5 minutes.
Yes.
But I always thought As It Returns, you and Michael Park as Zach, I always thought Zach and Lily would make a cute little couple. But then Holden and him were cousins, and that would, like, get those two in a little fist fight or something, which would have been cool.
Now the show is over, there was a document, there was a story document that had, and there's a lot more to the story, but where that involves when Carly and Holden hooked up, that Lily and Jack ended up finding each other because of that. Yeah, that never happened because I left. But but that was part of the future potential storyline, which was that was pitched, and they started telling the story with John and when the Noelle played Lily and with Maura. But the longer term was that Lily ended up having a night with Jack, so that it all, or they exploded. They never went there, though. They never went there on the show, you know, after Carly and Holden had been together, which it made perfect sense that Lily would go to Jack and just have, like, this passionate night together. Like, uh-oh. Now what do we do? You know, it's classic soap opera. Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's very. I think it would have been a very interesting twist had it played out, but it wasn't meant to be.
Well, and I know maybe you can say this now that the show's over, and it broke my heart for it to be canceled on of all days. April Fool's Day. So I thought it was a joke for a little while. I'm like, huh, funny joke. But then it was canceled. Was it your decision to leave?
Ultimately, it was my decision, but I had no choice. Does that make sense? You know, I feel
yes,
like
that
it
makes
was,
perfect sense.
Yeah, I had no choice. I was really put in a position that I had to leave, and it was unfortunate. It shouldn't have happened. It was very emotional and very dramatic, and it shouldn't have been that way, but I didn't want it to be that way. I really wanted to stay, and I wanted it to work out, but then it got very petty, and I didn't like that. You know, it got very
It did get petty.
Yeah.
No.
And not from, you know, not that I'm an innocent in all of that, but it got very, like, I'm going to win, not me, you know, the other side, so to speak. We're going to win, and we're going to, you know, we're not going to work with you at all. So, and there's more to it that I would never probably talk about until I write my book someday, but that was very dark.
Oh, yeah, my book.
It's too dark. It's too upsetting. It's one of those things that you go, you know, it's like, why? Why rehash something that was so wrong and painful, and because it's not going to do anything. It's not going to change anything. You know, would I do it differently today? Absolutely. But I'm a different person than I was then. And it was very, I felt very, very hurt by how I was treated by certain people, person. So, and it just didn't feel good anymore. You know, it just didn't feel like home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to get kicked out of your house. You go, well, I guess I'm not wanted here anymore. And my husband said to me one day, my alarm went off and I had to go to work. And he's like, you're just not happy going there anymore. And you have three children. And my daughter was born very sick, and she had a very difficult start to her life. And I never quite felt the same, meaning I didn't, it was very hard for me to go to work because I wasn't as happy at my work, and I felt like I needed to be home. So I feel like there's a lot of that too. I now looking back, I feel like there was a lot of just needing to fix my, you know, my child she was fine and healthy after a few weeks, but it's just life changed. You know, when you have a sick child, when you have a child go through trauma and you live through the trauma with her, you're forever changed. You're forever changed. You don't, you, it's just different. So I think a combination of all of those things ultimately made that decision for me. But no, I would have stayed in a heartbeat. It would have been one phone call, if one phone call, and it just became something that was got out of control and didn't need to be. And it wasn't from my side. It just, so that, you know, I clear that in the air, that it wasn't, I was ready, just was one thing. But it became ridiculous. It just became ridiculous. Yeah. And so yeah, it was just, the answers were all on the table. It was like, time to go. And I missed I missed those people, and I missed them, and I it was my family, and it was painful, and but you know, when you're in certain situations at the time, you don't have clarity because of what's going on. You don't have the clarity until much later on. But that, if you had it at the moment, it wouldn't be the moment. You have it later and you look back and go, why that happened. Oh, you needed to be gone because of this reason, or you know, there's a lot of things that you know, come into play. But look, it's life.
I mean, I get it.
It's life.
And I've always wanted to ask someone this, and I've never been able to ask the New York, I've only asked one other person, but were you guys taping on 9/11? Were you guys already at the studio when that happened?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because they were taping, and I've never been told not to come to work, and the day before, on September 10th, I got a phone call going, listen, we're doing some schedule changes. You don't have to come to work tomorrow. That's never happened to me in 20 years of being on the show. I never got a phone call like that. So I would have either have been already been to work when it happened, or on my way. I would have been either at work at that time of day, or I would have been coming in, so I would have stayed home. You know, I like... There's or on my way to work. No, I would have been at work. And like Paul Layden was there, and they were all stuck there in Brooklyn for quite a while. Like, I feel like it was 2 weeks or something. They had to find places to stay. And,
wow.
You know, my husband was a police officer, but he was on light duty because he had been injured in a car accident. So he was only on desk duty at the time of 9/11, and. So I was able to contact him one time. That was it. And then he was like, I won't be able to talk to you. And then, you know, it was horrible. And, and Scott Holroyd, who played Paul at the time, trade. And nobody could get in touch with him. Nobody could find him for, I think, two or three days. And eventually he surfaced. And the stories, you know, that he told were beyond, you know, beyond disturbing.
Yeah, because my...
But yeah, you do. We were there.
Yeah, my sister was there working, doing a PA thing and doing her internship there. And that was the hospital everyone was gone. And so being a nice little sister I am, I kept calling, thinking, oh, no, they are in danger. And I finally got home, a hold of her husband, and goes, calm down. I'm fine. What's wrong? Because he didn't have the TV or anything on. I'm like, go turn on the TV and go look on the web. And then you know what you, and then that's all I could say before the line cut. But finally, they were okay, kind of, you know, so I always wondered about that. But you played another one of my favorite roles on General Hospital. I don't know whether to love you or kill you. I mean, not, you know what I mean. Because what you did to Paul Edward.
I know. I mean, you know when you're poisoning. Well, I knew she was going to die from the moment I started the part, so it wasn't like I was surprised because it was a short-term thing. But what happened was I was supposed to work with Rick Hurst. We were supposed to have this love affair.
Oh, I love
being his character. I do, too. But he got a job. He got a contract role on B&B. So that kind of changed the whole dynamic of the storyline. But everybody was so nice to me there. And General Hospital was my show growing up. That was, and I, of course, Ken Schreiner, who played Scotty, you know, worked on As the World Turns with me, is one of my dearest friends. So it was fun. I mean, it's fun. It's good to go to another show, and it's not your show. You're there to visit. You're basically a guest in someone else's house. And I knew that. I'm like, I'm just here to have a little fun and do a little work. And but he was wonderful. I mean, the actor who played Mr. Quartermain, I mean, he was so...
Zonnie,
such a thing.
I'm like,
so sweet.
Well, I found out
you poisoned him. I did poison him. But he was telling me, you know, when I came on the show, you know, the way we shot As the World Turns is very different than the way General Hospital shoots their show. And when I found out there's, like, no rehearsal, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I got to learn my lines. And so I would know my lines, like, for rehearsal, and it's just a different way of, and he was just so sweet. He's like, you know, it's good. We can actually work together and we can run lines. And like, everybody's always running around crazy because there's always a rush, you know, it's always a rush now in soap opera. There's no time to rehearse. And I didn't want to mess up any, God forbid, I forget my lines, you know, I'm there, just don't waste any time. And he was just so complimentary and sweet. And I really enjoyed working with him. And he was really the one I worked with the most, you know. Just I wasn't there very long, but it was like going to camp. It's like going to camp. You don't really know the place, but it's familiar, and you know, the people are nice, and everybody was so sweet. And I mean, I knew Laura Wright. I mean, I was friends with her, so it was.
Oh, I love
it's
Laura.
Just a different, yeah, it's just a different experience, and to you know, for someone like Maura, and I love, you know, Maura is an amazing actress, and I'm so impressed by the fact that she has created a character that has become well loved, you know, by the audience on a different show. It's hard to do that. Very, very hard to do that. Not that I was looking to do that because it was really a short term thing for me, but you know, I know how hard that is. So she's just amazing. I'm glad she's there. I'm so happy that she has this wonderful job, and I'd like to watch her. She's amazing.
Oh, she's amazing. I love her. She's my little good crush, kind of. I love her.
Yeah, she's,
you know,
amazing.
I have to watch everything Laura's in, and also I love her and Monique Bernard together. Did you get to have any scenes with what I call my boys, you know, Monique Bernal, Steve Burton, or Anthony Geary? Were you able to have any scenes with them?
I didn't have any scenes with them. I didn't have any scenes. I mean, my connection to Steve Burton was that he got the In-N-Out food truck to come and feed everybody. That was like he always did that. He was such a lovely gentleman and lovely guy. No, but I got to hang out with them and chit-chat with them. And no, I had no scenes with them. I mean, Rick Hurst, I had, you know, two or three scenes with, and then he was gone off to Bold and Beautiful. So I was really there just kind of running around town causing trouble at the hospital.
Oh, gosh, you were causing.
Kimberly, yeah.
Yeah, and you were really causing trouble. And when that car accident happened for Edward, I'm like, at the carnival of all places. And I'm like, she's going to be in trouble in about 5 minutes. This is not going to be good. And I'm like, why did she have to do that? And, you know.
I know. You know, you can't kill Edward. You can't mess around with Edward.
No. And I'm like, this is not good. She's doing something of the coroner guy.
Nope.
So, my question before I bring any people on before they kill me, because I could talk to you all day. How was Murder, Seabold? I love you in Murder, Seabold.
Oh,
Kate and Allie, I love you in Heat of the Night.
Thank you, Doogie Howser. Neil Patrick Harris. I was just talking about. I was actually talking to Liz Hubbard today, and we were talking about that episode of Murder, She Wrote. That's so funny that you brought that up, because she's like, "You were really good at that." I'm like, "Thanks." And Hunt Block was on that episode, who played Craig for a while on As the World Turns, and was on. He was on my Murder, She Wrote episode. I've gotten to work with some great people. I've just been really fortunate to work with some really wonderful people in the business, and that's what those guest starring. I had some really good ones. I had some really fun guest starring roles, and I'd love to do more. You know, I'd love to do more of that. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but it's nice when they do come along.
Well, yeah, and if you can tell, if you don't mind, your on-screen mom, you know, the one you just mentioned, you guys look great on At the Return. You guys have mother doll scenes that made me cry, laugh, cry again, laugh again. You can tell about the show because I've always been a big fan of her, and I want her back on daytime. Would you ever come back to daytime?
Sure.
Would you ever?
Of course. I've been approached a couple times about some things, you know, just inquiring whether I'm interested, and then it never went any further. But yeah, of course. It would have to be the right scenario for both parties. Meaning, it's California now, so it's not like you can just, you know, get in your car and go to work. So it would have to be something substantial enough that it be worth kind of making that work, you know, because it's a lot of work, especially now. When I was on General Hospital, my daughter was really little, and it was much easier. Like, she was a baby, so it wasn't like she's 9. Like, I can't – it's just – there's more demands now, and it'd be harder. But, I have been approached. I've been at least inquired. I've had some discussions, and it's like – I always say to them, anybody who calls, if you think it's worth that, if you want to work with me going back and forth, then I'd be more than happy to discuss it further. But I feel like maybe there's something else, maybe there's something out there, and eventually something comes along and I'm open to it, and I love to work, who doesn't, and it would just have to be the right scenario for both people involved, you know. And I wouldn't want to cause anybody any problems with my scheduling issues.
Well, but
if
you go on Days of Our Life, the thing is they tape 6 months in advance. So
I
really
know
that could help you. And a lot of people from that show, like Cassidy Piper and stuff, are by coastal. And so
I know, and I know my name has been thrown around. You know, I know my name has been brought up. I don't know for what roles or what ended up happening, but I'm not, you know, I haven't had anything to do there yet. But who knows down the road? You know, I'm open to it. I feel like, and I've talked to my husband about it too. And it's like, as long as it makes sense for everyone, then. You know, this is what I do for a living. I'm an actress. It's part of what I do. We have to travel. We have to make sacrifices, you know, to do what we love. And thank God my husband's amazing and supportive and, you know, wants me to do what I love and vice versa. And, you know, the kids are amazing. And it's easy.
Is he still a cop?
He's retired, but
go back because I love cops.
Well, he got injured. He got in a bad car accident, so he retired. He's a PI now, though. He's got his own business. He's a private investigator.
I always wanted to be a PI, but then I got into this, and this is more fun because you don't have to go save people who's having a field or whatever. So this is much easier and much safer.
I did go undercover for him once. I did have to do that for once, which was amazing and fun, and I offer to do it anytime he needs me to do it. So that's something I'm doing on the side for fun. it's similar to acting, because you're playing a role, and it was really fun, and I had to tape somebody, and it ended up working out in our favor. So It's like improvisational acting. It's like you just get to think on your toes. So it's something he's got. He's, you know, there's plenty of bad guys out there to investigate.
Oh,
sure.
Well, yeah, of course.
And girls.
I better bring on calls, though, you know, because I could talk to you for the whole hour, but then I could get stalked by my fans. So, you know, I don't want that because.
No,
okay. Hey, 910, Bobby, are you on the line?
Hey, it's me. Hey, Martha. I had a nice Periscope chat with you last week when I asked you about your daughter.
Oh.
Because I did ask how old she was.
Yes.
Because I was thinking at the time that I thought she might have been like 7 or 8, and since you answered me with 9, I want to just say thank you in advance for that, because we keep
up
communicating on Twitter about that all the time. But I think Carly had basically answered every question I can think of, but I'm going to just...
Oh, God, Bobby, don't make me feel bad now.
But I'm going to ask some more questions anyways.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to reunite with Marla on General Hospital when she first came there, or was that just after that? Because I don't remember.
She was after that. Yeah,
okay.
She was after that. Like, at least she was on Young and the Restless first,
right,
before when she came up as a worker,
mm-hmm,
and then she went to GH.
Right. And I know you came up on As the World Turns the same time as your successor on As the World Turns, Nicole Beck, did when she was over on Loving at the time.
Yes,
did you
yes.
ever get a chance to know each other just through New York City events at the time when both shows were shooting in New York, or through the daytime Emmys, or just by way of talking to each other at the As the World Turns studios late?
No, we did, because I did a photo shoot with Noelle, and I have pictures that we were in bathing suits when she was on Loving and I was on As the World Turns. So we definitely crossed paths. And I think, don't quote me on this, she may have dated somebody on our show. I don't, it's a vague memory, but we all hung out. Like, we all saw each other at parties, and
right,
it was, with Guiding Light and Another World and As the World Turns and Beyond Life to Live, All My Children. Like, there was always things going on in the city that we'd run into each other.
Right, right. And it's a shame that there's no more soaps in New York City where you can stay
it
close.
Is.
And the Prospect Park shows All My Children and One Life to Live have been put on hiatus because of the situation that happened with Kirsten, Roger, and Michael Easton, with the whole situation of their characters that were on loan from One Life to Live going to General Hospital and them getting recast with a different character at the time of the whole situation.
Very complex.
Otherwise, I would have said that one of those soaps would have been perfect for you to stay close to the East Coast and be more convenient with your kids and stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? And who knows if like Carly says, you might come on another soap, because I would love to see you perhaps maybe, I don't know about this, but I wouldn't mind seeing you on Bold and the Beautiful. You know, reunite with Leslie if they get her back on contract as Felicia or anything else like that.
I'd love to see her back on the show. I'd love to see her as Felicia. And I actually had a story idea for B&B if they ever are interested in me. But we'll see if that, you know, you wait for those phone calls. You know, it's like people know who you are. They know where you are. And it's I know so many people. You know, these are people that have been in my life for decades. It's not like we're strangers. So if the right role comes along or something happens, I'm sure they'll call, you know. It's like it has to be the right time for them.
Right.
And I'm busy doing my other things. And it's thank God daytime's still around and it's still you know, it's still going.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Brad Bell's a good friend of mine. And I feel like I watch these shows and I kind of feel like, I could be that. I could kind of fit into there somehow.
Right, correct me if I'm wrong, but were you involved in writing on that show at one time?
Yes, briefly.
Okay.
Very briefly.
Right.
Yeah.
But it would be great to see you on there, or even on Young and Restless, so you can reunite with your old buddy, Gina, who you've known very well since her days on One Life.
I know.
She's doing
a great job.
Was like neighbors on Guy in Life for a while.
Yeah,
okay,
she's doing a great job.
Okay, well, I'll be tweeting you out later, and as soon as I get a new iPhone, I'll be looking for you on Periscope. And next time you come on Periscope, I would love to chat with your daughter. Maybe help her out with some homework or anything like that. Okay.
Sounds good.
You take. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Oh, and you can come on, you know, Martha, and be Steve Burton's love interest, and you guys will have the fire and the passion. Yeah. I would love to see that. Okay.
I would not disagree with that.
Well, yeah. Dave, 954, you on the air?
I'm Martha. How you doing?
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, good.
Good.
I'm Sam, a big fan of yours on your data at the World Train at your hospital.
Well,
thank
you.
I don't know,
do you
have a favorite storyline on Edward Trains?
Oh, so many. I really love the Rose and Lily storyline. That was one of my favorites just because it was so much fun and challenging. And I really loved when I was over in Malta with Damien and Arlena, and Lucinda came and rescued Lily from them because they were holding her hostage because of the baby. And I loved Claire Bloom with Lady Arlena, and I loved Paolo Suganti, like a family. So I loved that storyline. It was like he was gaslighting her to make her think she was crazy. And
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I think the whole Holden and Lily love story, I think that to me was so powerful. And I was so young, and it left such an impact on my life personally and from the show. It really was the base for my career there. So, you know, meeting John Hensley was such a gift in my life, and I would have my life would be completely different if he hadn't come into my life, you know. And I have such a warm place in my heart for him and for that story. So, it really all started there. Nothing else would have come to be. So, I'd have to say that. Love story. It was pretty powerful.
Also, who would like to come to Death Scene at the Carnival in GSPH?
I'm sorry?
Who would like to film the Death Scene on GH at the Carnival?
I couldn't understand what you said. I'm sorry.
So who would like to film the Death Scene on GH at the Carnival?
Oh, what was it like?
Yes.
Oh, it was amazing. First of all, they turned the entire parking lot of General Hospital into a carnival, which was incredibly impressive. I mean, and expensive, I'm sure. But I couldn't believe, like, you know, it's hard to explain, but for lighting directors, they have these, they're called scrims, and they block the sun out. You know, they keep the sun, they diffuse the sunlight. And when I pulled up my car into the parking lot at General Hospital, there was the biggest scrim I've ever seen in my life. It was hanging from a crane, and it was the entire length and width of the parking lot. And I thought, unbelievable. Like, all the years I was in As the World Turns, you know, we went on location, and, you know, we did a lot of really amazing things, but I'd never seen anything like this, you know. I mean, the money that was spent on that was off the hook.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I agree.
It was really cool, and it was like a really functional, it's a fully functioning carnival, and cameras were everywhere, and it was really organized, and it was just very impressive. Very, very impressive. It's cool.
Yeah, well, you're awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you, David. I'm going to put you on hold. And other caller is another David, but we call him the resident doctor here. Hi, doctor.
Okay.
Martha, it's a pleasure to meet
Hello.
You.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm so pleased to finally meet you. You are a fantastic actress. And I have followed your career without realizing I was.
Oh, well, that's,
for example, I first fell in love with Kate Nally, and
I was, great show.
You know, the thing of it was a great show, and I never understood why they canceled that.
I don't know. I was only on one episode.
It was funny as hell. It really was.
It was wonderful actresses, and my friend Allison Smith was on it, and many people I know were on that show. It was and it was a hit.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to credit the writers and the actors. You know, you included for the storyline on As the World Turns, the gay relationship between Noah and Luke. And you know, the whole thing with Luke's coming out and everything. You know, you have to realize, like you said, this was before Twitter, this was before social media. As the World Turns really was like the first folk to do a gay relationship and play it, well, so to speak.
Yeah, yep, yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people, I didn't watch As the World Turns in first run. I've caught tapes of it later on. And I fell in love with it after I started picking up after it stopped airing, and I've fallen in love with it since, to the point where...
Oh, wow, that's great.
To the point where that even to this day, I am actually actively trying to find out a way to be able to... Have you ever heard of this? There are these fan groups out there now. And they produce fan-made videos of like, for example, the original Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Captain Kirk and all that. Well, there's groups out there who do that kind of thing. And there's also other groups that do audio dramas. And I was, and I'm a big fan of things like Doctor Who, and one of the reasons Doctor Who was actually able to come back years after it went off the air was because that a company called Big Finish Productions started doing audio plays, audio dramas of Doctor Who Adventures after the show had been canceled several years ago. And then, because of the audio dramas, they did a restart in 2006. And it's been going strong ever since on BBC America. The point, though, that is that's what I want to do with shows like As the World Turns. I'm also a big fan of All My Children and One Life to Live. I was a big part of trying to keep those shows alive, and we were partially successful, except for all the legal crap, which is still a lingering choke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And
that's something I wish I knew more about how to help with it. But as it is right now, I'm in between. I'm actually trying to get back into a career in television in production. I went to school for communications and broadcasting, but I went into a different path for a number of years, and now I'm trying to go back into that, and I'm actually in talks with another guy who has a lot of history working behind the scenes on a lot of different networks, including ABC. We're working on an idea for a soap, but we haven't gotten anywhere as far as casting or anywhere near that yet. It's early stages on that. And in the meantime, I've also been... actually in contact with Procter & Gamble about As the World Turns, asking them what their take would be on doing an audio drama, just the same way that Doctor Who was done as an audio drama after it went off the air.
And how did that turn out for you?
Actually, positively. The woman I talked to couldn't give an okay on it, but she gave me contact information for people who I will be in touch with within the next couple of weeks about pitching the idea. It would be funded. It would be nonprofit. No proceeds above and beyond production. You know, and anything made above and beyond that would go straight to whatever charity that Procter & Gamble would see fit.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Yeah, because I would love to see As the World Turns return, and because everyone is all scattered, I think doing an audio drama this way, we can get some of the original actors back. No matter where they are in the world, they can still do this. It'd be kind of like the same way that people record for cartoons, where sometimes they don't even work in the same studio, but you get all the local content. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of where they are.
I hope you have luck with that. Keep us posted.
I can actually have Carly give you my contact information, and then you can send me an email, and I can keep you up to date on the projects, the various things I'm working on, and see if anything is of interest to you at some future time.
All righty. Sounds good. Okay.
All right,
thanks.
I, I wish you all the best
in what you're doing now.
Thank you, David.
And I want to ask you one question.
Yeah.
What was the, you know, what was your take on the whole storyline between Billy and Holden, the decline of the marriage? What was your
Which
honest...
time? Which time?
That's part of it. I mean, it seemed like the marriage was like the ugly stepchild. It kept getting beat on.
Well, I think that I think John Hensley and I both, and I think you can talk to anybody who's been in a couple a long time in a soap opera. We always want to try new things. You know, we always want to step outside the comfort zone as actors, as storyline wise. And the writers
would agree with that,
and then we would end up back together again, and you know it works. You know, I watched those scenes with John, and it just works. And it does. They're just the people. They're just the couple. And again, the entire show ended where they weren't together. I wasn't playing the part, but you know, they just couldn't figure it out. They wanted so badly to be together, and at the root of who they are, they loved each other, but they really, that they couldn't quite figure it out.
There was a lack of trust and a lack of communication a lot of the time. There were a lot
of that's normal with, you know, a lot of marriages are like that, and I feel like they just happened to have something that was...
There was a lot of static from other people, like, for example, Dusty's involved in things as well. You know, that was a sore point for Holden. And one of my favorite scenes was when they did this holiday fantasy. Did you know that one?
Which one?
The holiday fantasy where the kids are.
Oh yeah,
that
was great.
Yeah,
that was fun.
And they saw the dollhouse. Yeah, I love.
Yeah, that was cool.
That must have been really interesting for the costuming department to find all the costumes and all that.
Oh,
that
it was amazing. It was awesome. I was pregnant, so I was not very comfortable, but I was in one of those very tight, heavy dresses,
you know,
and I was pregnant.
It reminded me of Downton Abbey, before Downton Abbey ever came.
Yeah, it did. It was really cool, and I think they won the Emmy for that, and they something. It was one of those episodes that was just really special, and everybody got to dress up, and it was fun, and we did that quite a bit, and we all really enjoyed that, just because of what I said before, is that, you know, you're doing the same thing, you're working with the same people every day, you love each other, but it's nice to do something fun and different and change it up a little bit, change
right.
the scenery.
So there's a show you should watch if you want to.
Okay, David.
No, Carly.
Okay, David.
I want to tell you one second, Carly. There's a show you should watch if you ever get a chance. They do this every season. It's almost the same exact cast every season, but they change the entire storyline. Have you ever heard of American Horror Story?
I haven't watched it. I heard everybody says it's amazing.
It's beyond amazing because it's really the range of drama that the actors could do. One time there was an actor who had to play a role where he couldn't speak and he had to emote with his body language, with his eyes, and it was so beautiful. It was just, it was mind-blowing. You should really watch this series. I mean,
I will.
I
mean, I hear it's wonderful.
I admit that it's kind of okay with some of the violent stuff on there, but that's horror for you. But it
yep.
is more than just that. And
okay, thank you, David.
You'll love it. You'll
Thanks,
love it.
David.
All right, Polly, I'm
going
to ring off now and let other people talk to. God bless
uh-huh.
you, and you have a wonderful rest of your evening.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on also. We love you. You know, I love you, and
thank you. We hope
you can come again on the show.
Thank you.
We
thank
would
you
love,
for having me.
Yeah, and this lets Susan know if, you know, when there's another season, or if this gets green light, we would love to have you back.
You had a great. You asked great questions. I really appreciate the interview. I'm glad that I was able to do it, and thank you for having me. And I'm thrilled to be here. So,
and I hope you come back because we totally love you. And tell Michael Polk about this too.
I will. I will. I will
okay.
absolutely 100% do that.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Karen. Night. Have a great night. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, that was Martha Burns. And if you didn't, you can catch the interview morning, noon, and night. I'm bringing all the guides on. Maggie is not here today, so I'm the only girl. And since I'm the only girl, I make the rules.
Don't you
Corey,
always
you
make
on?
The rules? Yeah, I'm on. Don't you
Hello?
Always make the rules?
Sorry?
Oh, Corey.
Look, I'm just going to... Look,
you're the boss, Applesauce.
Corey, again, I have to say you did a phenomenal job with Martha's interview. It's, you know, you're getting better and better with each interview. You really are.
Yes, you did.
Thank
yes,
you.
Did.
I enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to just let you know something I should have told Martha, but when As the World Turns, I think it was maybe back in 2007, did a stop at Kingsman in Richmond, Virginia. I thought about going to meet her and meet Terry Kahn and Alexander Channel, but was unable to do that because I had a wedding in New Jersey a couple of months later. And I thought about writing to Martha about asking if she might want to have some coffee if I were in New York City, but that never did occur because I think at the time... Because I was going to come around the same time 9/11, and I had but there was a big wedding, so I just stayed mostly in New Jersey because there was a strike going on with the cab driver and thing, and everything else. So, but I just kind of regret having hang out with some of the stars from As the World Turns at the time, or Guiding Light at the time, because Guiding Light was in its last year in New York before it moved to New Jersey for the remaining 18 months of that show in 2008. So. So it was just kind of like bittersweet, but I'm just happy that I got a chance to talk to her, and maybe next time she's on Twitter or Instagram, not Instagram, Periscope, maybe I can just ask her. But I do want to say having watched Days on Monday, I just want to say this Joey kid, and I'm just calling him a kid because I don't want to call him a punk as yet. Is it just me or
is
just that
is.
He's reminding me of JJ a little bit because when I saw JJ get in trouble with his friends for drugs and got
but
treated,
you know
I just thought, that's going to be JJ.
You know,
that's going to be definitely
okay, but I'm going to be playing devil's advocate here. You send your kid away to a boarding school. You're almost sending the kid a message that he wasn't wanted. He hasn't talked to Pat in a while because Kayla tried to keep Pat and Zoe away from each other. I mean, come on, that kid's going to be a little messed up, right, Corey? Disagree with me.
Well, and not to mention that, yes, Kayla did her part in keeping Patch away from Joey.
Yeah.
Patch also did his part. He if you remember a few years back when they were in Africa, he told Kayla basically that the marriage was over and he was going back to the ISA.
Yeah, exactly.
This kid was basically abandoned by his father.
Mhm. Yeah, and come on, and no, Bobby, I don't agree with what you said yesterday about Nicole and Nicole, and Nicole is maybe a little like Sammy, but Nicole's her own person, and Teresa. Is maybe a mix between Sammy and Nicole. With, you know, I mean, we kind of need that for the next generation. And I want to see Xander dead. I thought Xander was supposed to go away on the 25th, and Xander's not gone yet. And I want Xander dead.
I only got to watch maybe the first 5 minutes up till Teresa brought up to Maggie about Xander, and then I just turned to the Red Sox-Yankees game because I just thought maybe Teresa was right, but then again, I don't want to just trust that Teresa is turning over a new leaf when every other day she's up to no good.
Well, you know,
I love Teresa.
I like Teresa, too. I love Jen Lilly, period.
Me too.
Part of it is with Teresa is that she can't help herself in the same way that in causing trouble, in the same way that her sister can't help herself in causing trouble. I think it's the way they were raised.
No, it's not the way they were raised. Come on, if you think about Teresa,
how do you explain it then that the two of them, these two sisters, are such hellions? They're horror stories in what they do to other people.
Okay, number one, Eve's mom wasn't a saint. Saint has been spending most of his life in ISA, right, Corey?
Yep.
Okay, you have that, and then you have Kimberly, sticking her head in the sand after saying left to that one time and making Teresa, insult the younger kids. Come on. It cannot,
right.
I love Kathy DePava to death from when I live. I love her music and everything, but Eve gets on my last freaking nerve.
She
does these things.
She's a character that's supposed to get on your nerves. Eve has always been this way. And it is to your point, David, her mother, if you go back and watch when her mother was on the show, her mother was exactly the same.
Exactly.
Now,
in Teresa's
defense, a lot of her life, Shane has been away with the ISA, and
mm-hmm.
Kimberly was in a mental institution for a long time. So
right, and
Teresa was not technically raised by her parents. They've been absentee parents most of her life. She was raised by somebody else.
No, what I'm saying is that her issues of trying to get attention are sort of related in the same way. It's like some things are by environment, but other things are in the genetics, in the nature, a predisposition for certain, like for example, with twins. You have twins who are separated at birth, they'll still do almost the same exact thing, marry the same kind of people, sometimes even people with the same first name, even if they, and then when they meet later on in life, they see so many similarities in their lives. And part of it, that is genetic, even if they've never been,
Exactly.
never lived together.
David, my point was actually agreeing with you that the upbringing that they both had plays a part
mm-hmm.
in their personality.
Exactly.
I want to add one more thing. I can understand why Paige has been so screwed up as of late with the whole thing with her and JJ and everything else, because I think she kind of fallen into what her mom and her aunt has been up to.
I don't think so. I think she generally loves JJ, and that's why she got involved.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I feel so sorry for Paige because Eve is her mother, and Paige is basically always in a position where she's had to clean up after Eve's crap, particularly when it came to men. And now she's finally fed up with it, and I don't blame her. But you know who's the worst soap mother? I mean, all-time worst soap mother I've ever seen in my entire life? And that is on General Hospital.
Oh, boy.
Madeline Reed. Oh, that woman.
What?
Madeline.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It was classic.
That woman.
It was so classic.
It
explains the whole
thing. Don't say that. Don Mills doing a good job. And she wanted to say something out loud.
Great actress playing her. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you something. All the crap that Madeline has done to Nina, I feel really bad for Nina.
I do, too.
She's only 20 years of the woman's life. She submarined her marriage to Silas by hiring Ava in the first place, and then drugged Nina. Then she killed Afonso, framed Silas for that. You know what I'm saying? All these things. And then she finally murdered Silas, who did nothing wrong. And all she wanted was money. Nina's money. All for Nina's money. That's all why she did all this. She didn't care about her daughter. And, any mother who does that, I feel sorry for their kids. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you know what? Madeline Oba and Dr. O, must have had one screwed up childhood. You know, I mean, back in those days, they must have been really, 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 really screwed up. And so, you know, I don't get mad at people. I don't judge them. Unless your name is Julian Zero.
No, Madeline and Dr. O are two different issues. Dr. O, I love Dr. O. I mean, I love, you know, she at least cares about the kids.
Corey, help me.
Even though, you know, she makes mistakes, she still cares about her kids. Madeline never cared jack crap for me.
Okay. Corey, you get what I was saying, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I get what you're saying.
Well, I do have, before we leave, a couple of interesting things. First of all, I missed Jada on Zoo last night. I do have it on DVR, so I'm going to watch it this weekend.
For what?
Secondly, Jada, who we had a couple weeks ago when she came on to promote her upcoming episode of Zoo, well, she was on last night because I just went over the Facebook page and you sent out a link, and I have it on DVR,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to watch it later. And also, last week you mentioned that Benson might go to General Hospital. Well, he's ended up going to Days.
I was going to break that. Bobby, I wanted to break that. I got excited for this. Okay, people, Instant Billy Zoe is coming to Days as one of the Curiosus people. And then Corey, honey, my Doc, my wonderful Doc that I love, why don't you make a big announcement?
Well, first of all, you all know who Vincent is playing. A few episodes back,
mm-hmm.
Victor was trying to get a hold of that doctor for Caroline that he
yeah.
was doing the research. That's who he's playing.
But he's also like a Kiriakis too. I've done my homework.
He's on. He right, but that's the doctor who he's playing.
Wow.
Another, yeah. So it's going to be good, and not to mention that he's not the only one coming to Days. The actor who was on One Life to Live, he played
JT.
Ray Montez.
Yep.
Right.
All of those here.
And then Griffin from All My Children is also going today.
Griffin. I'm trying to remember him. Oh.
Yeah, Tony, Jordy.
Jordy. Yeah, because I think you had a canceled interview last month because he was unable to make it. Carly, I think I remember.
And he was also on Guiding Light.
So my big
announcement is that on September 29th, we have, he's not connected to a soap, but he's connected to a show that me and Carly absolutely love, and we've had him on the show before, Leon Accord Whiting. He's the creator, producer, and star of Old Dogs and New Tricks, which is a hilarious online show that follows a group of gay male friends and their hijinks. So he'll be on with us on the 29th of September.
Okay. All right.
I
do want to say also one more big announcement. Now, next Friday, if you can set your DVRs for this for Days, since it's 9/11, there are going to be several of the stars that's going to just, you know, come out of character like they did for the Christmas episode in 2001 and talk a little bit about it, plus show some clips like they did during the Christmas episode in 2001. So I think that's going to be interesting. It might be the potential ability of what could get Days another daytime Emmy, if you ask me, with that type of talent. So we've seen the same thing with YNR with the Jeannie Cooper tribute a couple of years ago.
Well, let's talk about Emmy-worthy performances. It will be a crime if Brian Craig is not nominated for his performance today. His performance on GH today was breathtaking.
Right. I agree, and even though I haven't seen much of Paige in the last couple of weeks, I think what she did 2 weeks ago should be also mentioned for True O'Brien. But also from what I saw of Jen Lilly in the 5-10 minutes I saw Days last night, I think she, if she doesn't get nominated for Daytime Emmy, then somebody got a riot right now. Just wonder when is Jen Lilly going to get nominated for Emmy. All
right. And Carly?
Uh-huh.
My friend Carly, you're going to be happy about this. I've crossed over to the dark side. Because of today's performance from your man, I am now Team Sunny.
Oh, and I didn't even have to sleep with you for that. Awesome. Like, it's a joke, people. Yes.
Yeah.
He just today.
I cannot wait to watch, David. I cannot wait to see you, Corey.
No, that
and,
was, yeah.
And Spencer's back. And all I gotta say is, Sunny and Colby's wedding better happen, or I'm gonna sue someone. And if they dare to blame Sunny about TJ's kidnapping, I'm gonna yell at people. And
I have a theory.
You know, and I have a couple announcements. So we are on this Friday. Is everyone gonna be in town on Friday?
Yep.
Yes. Well, what time exactly are you going to be on the air? Because I might be able
7,
to call
7. 10, you know,
yes.
7, 10, you know, regular
yeah,
time.
Our regular
I'll
time,
Dan. I'll call in Dan. Because I might be 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late, but I'll definitely be there.
Oh, but I have more announcements. I have more announcements. And then on the 8th, we have Leslie Kay from As It Were Tunes and Bold and Beautiful, and she was on the New Hospital.
Holly, I'm so happy that you're getting so many As It Were Tunes people. That was a great show, and I'm sorry when it ended because it started off, it had a lot of potential, that show.
I'm not done. And then we have Jerry Vandone from One Life to Live and Guiding Light on the 9th.
Oh.
What? Carly,
awesome.
You what?
Yes.
What?
How did you
I told you I was doing something big.
What?
Y'all did yourself, Carly.
Carly, I can make
can't
out
hear
with you right
you.
Now.
I can't hear
what?
You, kids. Who's going to be on there? Who's going to be on for One Life to Live?
Clint.
I could make out with you right now.
Really? I haven't done that in a while, so
that's
go
yeah,
for
yes,
it.
Yes,
and,
yes,
you know,
Carly.
Sorry,
yes, Carly. Really? That's how excited I am.
I have Mona's. It doesn't fail, you guys. And we have the cast of The Bay coming on Tuesday the 10th. And then the 11th, we have Tina. I don't remember who. But she played on Guiding Light, but not as Tina.
Tina Sloan. I know who she is. Cause,
thank
cause
you.
I
okay.
Please.
And then
oh, she
on,
was Mindy.
On,
right.
Yeah, and then on September 14th, we have Stacey Goodson. She played Isabel on Days of Our Life. Then we have Zeno Kiel, someone. And then we have Dana Higley coming back on because he was sick on Friday. And then we have... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Stacey Isabel will be on there. On the 14th, we have Siri, but she was on Ryan all years back. And then we have Leon and Stacey, and we gain, and then breaking news, we'll have Eileen Christensen on here.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right. I love her.
I was unable to talk to Eileen last week when you talked to her about that suggestion last week because I was busy at the time at work. So this will be great to talk to Eileen because I have watched her on Ryan's Hope and reruns on SoapNet and on One Life to Live. So I have really admired what she has done over the years.
And on Friday, we are having a regular show, and we are going to play this. We are going to play a game called Reinvented, because I think it's time that we got to know each other better. We are going to play Have You Ever Done, that's the game, Have You Ever Done This or That. So that's what we are doing, and we are talking about soaps on Friday. Corey, did you have any grading announcements or anything?
No, just that I want to kiss you right now.
Oh.
Really? All those people from my shows that I used to watch?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I could just look at
it. I tell you I've been busy.
Yeah. If, you know what, Carly? If
I love you.
I mean, excuse me, David, Corey. Corey telling me how much he loves me, and that's all they ever happened between us. So,
because you had the wrong part, but I really could make out with you right now.
How come I always have the wrong part for all of you guys? How is it?
Well,
huh?
It's not my fault. You were born a girl.
Okay, wait. Okay, Bobby. Wait, Bobby, are you gay?
No. No, I'm not gay. No. In fact, I was going to ask you something off the air. If I'm ever in up where you are, or you ever come down to North Carolina, if you want to maybe go out on a date or something.
Oh yeah, maybe yeah.
Any of the stars from YRGH were to be in the Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada area, or Seattle, or Tacoma, or Portland,
I grew up in Portland. You know, I know all about Portland. Okay,
but
and I've been thinking, you guys, I've been thinking a lot about this, and not next year, but the year after, how would everyone want to do a fan club weekend in California with Maggie and I, maybe Susan. Would everyone like to go? I mean, I know it's a little costly, but if we start saving now, I think we can do it.
Well, I told
you guys,
Carly, I already told you I was in, and I think we should do a show from a fan weekend.
Yeah.
I think this would be a wonderful idea. If I can suggest a person that does a fan club weekend in Florida, Debbie O'Connor, if you can get her on the show. I do have some suggestions of not only some other clients from other shows that I think she should hire and just put for her fan club. But I also was thinking maybe that we can just get her as a regular on the show and stuff like that.
Well, we can try, but I'm excited because I get to meet Nathan down there. Nathan, you know, Barty, who was on the show. So I'm excited. And,
the only thing I kind of pissed myself if we do the GH fan club thing is how to deal with Michelle Stafford's 7-year-old, her 2-year-old, and Kirsten Storm's 4-year-old at the same time. It would be like, oh my goodness! I thought I could deal with this with Emma and Joshua and
oh, I love kids.
Yeah,
I have a bunch of nieces and nephews.
I love kids too, but I don't want to just deal with the kids of these actors versus the kids of the actual stars who will probably be teens by then.
Well,
if they stay on the show.
Corey,
no recap.
Corey, you know who I want to meet so bad, don't you? You know who I want to meet.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
And you know who I want to meet?
Who?
Well, like I said, I'd love if you could get Sam Hansis on the show. Sure, you know, from As the World Turns, and he did that show Eastsiders, which I just started watching that. I loved it. But anyway,
David, don't you just love Eastsiders?
Oh, my goodness. I started watching it. It was good. It was good. And I hear that he was working on a sequel.
Yeah, it's such a good show. If everybody else has not seen Eastsiders, you really need to watch it. It's such a good show.
Well, yeah, well, all I've, you know, what I've caught so far was that two-hour thing, a two-hour, like, pilot movie, whatever. That's all I've seen so far of it from what I've been able to catch of it. But, yeah. I hear it's really, really good, all the stuff that he's been, you know, he did a short film. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It was about him trying to have his first time with this girl, and he you know, so then he goes back in time with a time machine and keeps on, well, goes forward, and you know what I'm saying? Goes back and then keeps coming back, and well, you'll see it's funny. It's like 15 minutes. It's called The Time Machine. Look him up on.
Oh, geez.
I think it's on Daily Motion. And if you go on that site, you'll find it there.
I have to check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, and okay, and the Prime Time shows all coming back, thank God. And all I gotta say is Code Black looks so good. If anyone
that
looks so good, and I cannot wait for my Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Grey's Anatomy, Blue Bloods, everything to come back.
Gosh. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of shows I'm looking forward to seeing. The new season of Gotham, Flash, iZombie, Arrow, all those, and there's some new shows coming out too that I'm looking forward to. DC's Legends of Tomorrow. That's coming out. Let's see. Oh, of course, there's Once Upon a Time. They got a new season of that coming out real soon.
Maybe we should have, you know, one night a week doing Daytime After Dark to talk about the primetime shows and to talk about the ball also.
Yeah,
I think
that'd be
good.
You know what I'm looking forward to, though, even though I'm a little upset that they broke up? I'm looking forward to the new Muppet show. I love the Muppets.
Why did Kumi have to break up Miss Piggy's heart and stop it on him?
Because, Carly, you see, he's got a new pork rind.
Yeah, but you cannot break Miss Piggy's heart.
I'm not okay with this. But I'm also looking forward to, in October, when American Horror Story starts. I just love that show.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's worth watching. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm waiting for the... Okay, there's supposed to be another one that he's doing... with the Kardashian thing, the OJ thing, and Spencer is supposed to be in and playing Rob Kardashian, and I'm dying to see it. And do you guys know when that is coming out?
It's going to be called American Crime Story. For the way I understand it, is it's all been filmed. They just don't have a night or time figured out, but it's supposed to come out in October as well.
Okay, well, Corey, you can keep us updated on that. David, what is your new job? I have to get David a job. David, your new job is looking up the new primetime shows for the season and letting everyone know what time it is, but people will know because we need to have the ratings.
Usually what I do, I usually just go on Hulu, and it usually tells you what's. Not only do they have the new seasons, but they also have some. If you go on Hulu, you'll find previews, you know, like teaser trailers of upcoming shows that are coming out.
Oh, well, I watch everything from my TV. I have Netflix, and I watch some Netflix, but I don't want to get Hulu by now because
Carly.
I cannot. one.
Carly, you just said you watch Netflix. Do you watch Orange is the New Black?
I'm getting into that one.
Well, I was on Periscope the other day, and Sean Reinhold, remember he played the bodyguard on One Life to Live?
Oh, yeah.
Destiny's brother. He announced on Periscope that he is now a regular on the new season that's coming out of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, my God. We should get him on the show.
I'm working on it.
You know who else I'm thinking, you know who else you should get on the show that has had a recurring role on House of Cards this year is Christina Lynn Bennett, the one that was Bianca during the end of the AMC on ABC.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, the sky's the limit, as my grandfather used to say. But we are ending the show because our time is up. But how about everyone will be here on Friday, and I will make the show. What does everyone want, an hour and a half to 2 hours? Or does everyone want an hour being Labor Day weekend? I need help deciding, people.
I don't know. It's your show.
Corey, help me.
You decide.
Corey?
No doubt there'll be a lot to talk about with soaps, and then we're going to play our game. So I would do at least an hour and a half.
Okay, let's
maybe
do
more.
An hour and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I might join you guys around 10:30, 7:30, or Pacific, or 11 or 8 around that time slot, because I'm just going to be getting back from football games and wanting to find out who else won games. So I might be calling in and probably late into the show, but I'll definitely join you to talk soaps.
Okay, now you guys,
and
see you on Friday.
And you,
Maggie,
right.
We love you. We miss you tonight. So, and Corey, text me in an hour.
All right.
Okay,
well,
sounds good.
You have a good night,
okay.
Carly, and I'll talk to you Friday.
Oh, David, you can text me.
Yeah, that's what's
going
to keep
calling.
Bye.
Night, guys.
I'll give you a call later. So talk to you later,
okay.
Carly.
Okay, bye, guys. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That
bye.
Was Daytime After Dark, Wednesday with Martha Boone. Join us Friday at 7 p.m. Bye, guys.